Today we're looking at Christ the King, and it hasn't been the best week for the royal family this week, has it? But in fact, as a family altogether, there's been some decisive action, and Prince Andrew has stepped down. So we need to continue in our prayers for the whole of the country as we come into an election, and it's very good to see that you're having hustings here at this church. And also for the royal family. Today in this passage, Jesus is before Pilate, and I want to bring out two things. One, he is the king in disguise, and secondly, he is the king who bears witness to the truth. We lived in Kenya for 7 years, 7 miles up a mud road from 1985 to 91, Ali, my wife, and I. We went with two daughters and we came back with three. Katie was born there. And last year, Miriam, our middle daughter, married a Kenyan at All Saints Peckham. And they now live in Burgess Hill. And we went and had the blessing of the wedding in Kenya. And there were 700 people at that blessing and reception. And it was wonderful. We took 20 from our family over there. And Miriam grew up, was one of seven children in the college where we grew up. And Munene, her husband, was one of the other children. He's the son of the accounts clerk. And for the first time since 1991, those seven children were together at the reception. Now, next week, our eldest daughter, Roz, is marrying a Sri Lankan. And next year, our youngest daughter, Katie, is marrying a black British guy. And so we've got the whole Anglican communion in our family. And what I want to stress is that we are part of a massive family worldwide, the Anglican communion. So we worship here at Christ Church East Greenwich. We're part of the diocese, sure, we're part of the Church of England, but we're part of a massive family throughout the world. And our King is Jesus, that's the theme of today's sermon. Jesus is actually a prisoner before the governor Pilate. Look at verse 33. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate says, "Am I a Jew?" So there's quite a confrontation going on there. But Jesus is actually the king in disguise. Where's the power in this passage? There's the governor seated on his chair, on his throne, and yet before him is the king of the whole universe. And it's an extraordinary tense moment of power. In the book, maybe you've seen the film The Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit. Now, in that, the rightful king of all that place is King Aragorn. But we don't meet him as King Aragorn right at the beginning of the book or the film. He is Strider. He is a man. He meets the hobbits in a pub called the Prancing Pony, and they have no idea who he really is. And this is one way to look at how Jesus develops his ministry. So when the disciples first meet him, they don't really know he's the king of the whole universe, that he is the savior of the world. They do know he's special, and they follow him. And gradually, through the cross and resurrection, they understand he really is the king. And then Shakespeare did a similar thing, the king in disguise. Henry V at the Battle of Agincourt, he wants to find out how the soldiers were feeling before this huge battle against the French. And so he disguises himself. And he goes amongst his soldiers and he listens to what they think of him and how they feel. And only later in the play, he meets the same soldier who he'd spoken to, and he discovers he is the rightful king. And that can happen to you in your walk with Jesus, that you come to him firstly as a friend or as somebody who can help you, and then you discover how extraordinary he really is. So Jesus is the king in disguise. Secondly, he's the king bearing witness to the truth. Right at the end, it says, "So you are a king," Pilate says, Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this I was born and for this I came into the world, to testify, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Pilate asked him, what is truth? Well, Francis Bacon said, what is truth, said jesting Pilate, and didn't wait for an answer. It's extraordinary. The answer was actually standing before him, because Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And it's very important to bear witness to the truth, and we think about who bears witness to the truth when we vote. If you haven't registered, it's very, very important to register. 9 million people in the last election didn't vote, who could have voted. 9 million people. So if you haven't yet voted, registered, register. And if you have registered, make sure that you do vote. And out of the passage, out of the gospel today, truth is really important. Vote for someone who tells the truth. When I was in Kenya, I worked with Bishop David Gitari, who was an extraordinary man who spoke out for the truth and spoke out against the president, President Moi at that time. We live 7 miles up a mud road in the foothills of Mount Kenya at 5,000 feet. And he built a diocese that was growing. But he also stood for justice, both locally, nationally, and internationally. And President Moi at that time, it was a one-party system, was doing away with the secret ballot. Instead of having your secret ballot, where nobody could know your vote, he said, I've got a new idea. We will have voting by queuing. And so we will have a photograph of one candidate there and a photograph of another candidate there. And everyone queues up behind. Now, the difficulty with that is that a wife would find it very difficult to be in a different queue from her husband. If a soldier is on duty, everyone would see how he voted, or a policeman. And also, the queues disappear at the end. So where is the verification? How can you tell the truth? So he stood out and preached against queuing. And there was an assassination attempt on his life in April 1989. I got a phone call at our college. And he said, I've just had an assassination attempt on my life. But we managed to, with our family, to climb up into the roof of our house, and I shouted, and neighbors came and they chased away the people trying to kill us. He was an extraordinary man, and that very afternoon he went to Embu Cathedral and confirmed about 100 people. He just did the next right thing. But there was another bishop who I knew, Alexander Muge, who was killed, and he was from President Moi's own particular area and ethnic group. And there was a man there who was a cabinet minister, and that cabinet minister said Muge was going to have a massive confirmation service at a place called Busia. And the cabinet minister said in the papers, if you come to Busia, you will see fire and you may not leave alive. So that was a threat. And Muge went, had a confirmation service. There were about 5,000 people there. And at the end of the service, he was driving away, and an unmarked milk lorry that had been held by police at the top of a hill came careering down the hill, smashed into his car, and killed him. And there was a huge investigation, and the driver went to prison for 7 years for dangerous driving. The cabinet minister had to resign. But the students at our college, they were writing a passion play, a story of Jesus' life, and they were putting it in the context of Kenya. And when the Sadducees, when the Sadducees say to Jesus, who's in Galilee, if you come to Jerusalem, they say, if you come to Jerusalem, you will see fire, and you may not leave alive. And so that was picked up with that. I wrote a poem on Alexander Muge. It's called Bishop Muge Prophet. On Saturday, a minister of state in Kenya threatened a minister of God in public. If he or his colleague entered his kingdom, they would see fire and may not leave alive. On Tuesday, the prophet, impatient, impulsive, pugnacious, courageous, insisted on seeking the kingdom of God and on his right to preach in Busia. Triumphal entry and service over, on returning, he returned home. The unmarked lorry, released from a police check, headlights blazing, mid-afternoon, cut in, cut up, cut off Bishop Muge. The Minister of State resigned but boasted of his prophecy. The driver went to prison, 7 years for dangerous driving. The people talked of murder. The party's over. Après moi, the deluge. And there did come multi-party democracy after that. So we've looked at the king in disguise and the king bearing witness to the truth, and heard of others who bear witness to the truth in different parts of the world today. I finish with another poem. It's called The First Written Gospel, because Pilate arranged for the title of Jesus to be written and engraved above his cross. Can you remember that? It said, the King of the Jews, didn't it? The King of the Jews. And the leaders of the Jews didn't like that. They said, no, just say, he said he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate said, well, I've written. And one way to look at that is as the first written gospel, even before Mark was written, or Matthew, or Luke, or John. This little plaque, the King of the Jews, was the first written gospel. Jesus the sacred, tried before Pilate. Pilate the scared, trial before Caesar. Jesus entitled to justice from Rome, entitled by Pilate, the King of the Jews. First written gospel, translated for all. Title deeds of the kingdom of God. Proclaimed to the city, unchanging word. What is written, bequeathed to the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.